this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We are here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, high atop the beautiful Tower of Hope. Come see us. And we are here with one of my all-time favorite people, an all-time favorite events, part of the season that is so on fire. It's called Pentecost. And Andrew Laubacher is here with us. Welcome back to the show, Andrew.
Great to be here, Deacon.
And Pentecost changes everything. It changed the church. Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50. And it really is, the Jews would celebrate 50 days after Passover. It was called the first fruits of the grain harvest for the Lord. And all the Jews from all over would come to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. And it was in that environment when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples as tongues of fire. They began speaking new languages. It was the beginning of the church. Why is Pentecost so important, Andrew?
Well, yeah, it's the beginning of the church, and it's the promise of the Father, and it's that scripture, maybe you can remind me where it is, where God's speaking, he's like, I'm gonna give them a new heart and put my spirit in them.
Amen, which is in Ezekiel. Yeah.
So it's prophecy fulfilled. It's I think the most amazing revelation, I mean, along with Jesus, is that God gets to live in us. I mean, through the Pentecost now, there's an indwelling of God in man through baptism, through confirmation, through saying yes to Jesus. And Pentecost is something we can actually experience now. It's not just a one-time thing that happened 2,000 years ago.
And we're talking here on Empowered by the Spirit with Andrew Laubacher, who is nationally renowned and internationally, too. He has started a ministry called Firelight. We're so pleased that he's part of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, in conjunction with Firelight. And he travels and gives conferences and worship nights and all kinds of things. Tell us about Firelight, what that's about.
Yeah, Firelight's a new young adult ministry that we have come together with Spirit-Filled Hearts and yourself, Deacon Steve, to really bring about revival. I mean, I think God's put that word on my heart for a while now, and it's actually a Catholic word. I mean, Pentecost was experienced by the first Catholics. Our Protestant brothers and sisters talk about revival a lot, and I think Catholics need to start talking about it more because we were the first ones to experience it, you know, and it's not like, oh, we're better because of it, but man, we need to come together as a church, Protestant, Catholic, non-denominational, and really experience a new Pentecost together, and we need to help Jesus answer his prayer in John 17, that we would be one. And amen. I think when we come together, even as a Catholic church, and come together and realize, man, Pentecost, this is something that Jesus said would happen. This is something that we are called to experience today. This is something that can transform your life. Like, I experienced this baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. It was a radical encounter, and not everyone's is super insane and radical. Some people have different experiences with the Holy Spirit.
Do you want to be crazy for Jesus?
I do. I
am
crazy.
You want to be on fire for Jesus?
I am.
You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
You are fuego!
Yeah.
Bottom line is this. My brothers and sisters, to be filled with the Spirit means we're normal Christians.
Yes.
Jesus asked the disciples right before he ascended into heaven in the first chapter of Acts. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit?
Hmm.
And they said, well, we received the baptism of John,
right,
which was a baptism of repentance. And in verse 8:18, he says, you will receive
power.
Power, which is didymus.
Didymus. Dynamite.
Dynamite power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses.
Hmm.
Then you will go to the ends of the earth. You can't get that. You know, the tail doesn't wag the dog. You can't get there. Hmm. So many people say, oh, I want to make a difference. I want ministry to be really powerful. I want all these things to happen, but I'm not asking for the Holy Spirit in my life. Pentecost means that the Holy Spirit is upon us and transforms us.
Yeah, and I love to make this distinction because this needs to be spoken about more, but there's no distinction between charismatics and more traditional Catholics. There shouldn't be. When we're saying charismatic and we're talking all this Holy Spirit talk, this is not for people that just love praise and worship
exactly.
and pray in tongues. I mean, this is if you are a baptized Christian or a Catholic, this is for you. Look at every saint in the church. Doesn't matter how contemplative they were or monastic they were. They were living a life in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And I kind of like to share with people that, if you love Latin Mass, you know, and if you love Gregorian chant, I do too. If you love praise and worship, and, you know, I was just in Haiti and people are banging drums and dancing and singing, I love that too. I love the worship of the church and that universal nature of the church. The cry of my heart is for Catholics to understand that the Holy Spirit is for you. This is not just for the weird charismatics. This is not just for people who are, quote, you know, evangelists.
You're not calling me weird now, are you, man?
I'm calling you a little weird.
I'm a little strange.
I'm a little weird, too. But I think it's weird.
I want to be weird for Christ.
Yes.
Oh, it's okay.
I want to be a fool for Christ.
Yeah, okay.
I think we just actually believe what he said we would do. You know, and the Pentecost was a really wild experience. You know, we have a lot of beautiful imagery of cute little tongues on their heads. From my knowledge, that tongue of fire, like in the Greek, actually means raging flame. Like, imagine you're just chilling with your friends.
Oh, man.
And a raging flame starts to hover over people, and you are drunk. You're literally drunk. I mean, you are so drunk in love.
They thought they were drunk,
right?
They
thought they were drunk. I mean, people we love, I mean, yeah. Our culture is obsessed with getting drunk. And the funny thing is, there's a drunkenness that is so much better than any beer or alcohol you can have.
Now, we know that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth will set you free.
Yep.
And Jesus spoke truth, and the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth, so I'm asking the truth right now. Hmm. Have you ever had more fun in your entire life, more enjoyment, more satisfaction, than when you say yes to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're preaching, and you're singing, and you're so on fire? Is that the greatest thing in the entire world?
I would say yes. I'd say being with him, experiencing the Holy Spirit, this intoxication, all the saints talk about this jubilation.
Jubilation.
This intoxication.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is way more fun than any concert I went to when I was partying.
Or anything the world can give you.
And it doesn't mean it's like it's not a feeling. You know, I don't feel God a lot. But there's something in my spirit that shifted when I experienced God, the Holy Spirit.
It's like bursting out.
Yes, I never experienced the Holy Spirit in that way. Obviously, when you receive the sacraments, you are receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. You are receiving the Holy Spirit. Confirmation, when they laid hands on me, like, from my knowledge, what I'm reading historically, when adults were baptized and confirmed, that moment, they started prophesying, speaking in tongues, going into incredible places and preaching the gospel. We don't really talk about that much anymore, but that was actually part of the experience. Is like you experienced.
It was normal.
Experienced.
Well, how did the church go from all these guys hiding in a room?
Dudes, 12 weird dudes.
Hiding in a room.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to be crucified along with Jesus at any moment in time.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the doors burst open, and Paul is proclaiming the gospel to thousands of people that were converted that day, and they heard their own language coming out of his mouth. All of that happened because of the Holy Spirit.
Yep, and I think it comes down to our belief. Like when the disciples went to Jesus and brought that epileptic boy who wasn't healed, you know, like what did Jesus say? He's like, you need to pray and fast. Like, this is the only way that this demon is removed, and Jesus healed him. Like, it was God's will to heal that child. The disciples couldn't. What was the reason? Well, they needed to pray and fast. Why did they need to pray and fast? Not to just do works so they could feel holy. Jesus said to pray and fast so they can get rid of unbelief.
Amen.
Because unbelief is what holds people back. Like, unbelief is what holds our church back, I believe. We need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. We need to believe. Jesus says in the scriptures, only believe. Do not fear. Only believe. If we believe that this is possible, if we believe that Jesus really sent us his Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine that day, right? I love the disciples, man. They're so, like, they just so didn't get it. And I feel like that a lot. Like, Jesus was like, I'm going to die. On the third day, I'm going to rise.
And the Holy Spirit then
and
will
then
come
the
to
Holy
you.
Spirit's going to come to you. And it and then the disciples like, no, Jesus, don't do that. And he's like, it's going to be better for you.
Right.
That
better
I
than
leave.
I go. Exactly.
It's like, but I imagine the disciples at that moment, like, imagine you're standing with Jesus, and he's like, it's better that I go. I'd be like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. In fact, they said, where are you going? I want to go with you.
Yeah, I think you should stick around. But I find that amazing that Jesus said it'd be better that I go, because I'm going to send something, someone that is so powerful, it's going to rock your face off.
And that's exactly
what
happened.
That's a rough translation, Rocky
and,
face
and
off.
I know it's in Scripture somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to find
that. That could
one.
Be the Alob commentary.
Yeah, it could be the Alob footnote.
Right.
But the bottom line is this, my brothers and sisters, do you have anxiety? Do you have fear?
Mm.
You talked about your personal testimony that you were anxious
all the time.
Before Jesus.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden everything changed. And that's exactly what happens. We're on Pentecost Sunday here. That's exactly what happens when we say yes to Jesus, yes to the Holy Spirit. Everything changes.
Yeah, Matt Maher has this, you know, little song. I think it's called Everything is Grace. He's turning my fear to faith, my doubt to praise, and everything is grace. You know, it's like he's turning our fear to faith, our doubt to praise, and everything's in grace. So when grace shows up, when Jesus showed up, because he is grace incarnate, when Jesus showed up in power, it shifted people's lives, you know. And when the Holy Spirit shows up for us in power, it's going to shift our lives. And we have to put ourselves, I believe, we have to put ourselves in position to encounter.
It's interesting. You know, there's more martyrs today than at any time
yeah.
in history.
Yeah.
What makes someone a martyr? What makes someone the time of Jesus to go and have wild animals tear you apart? You just saw that Paul, right?
Yeah.
And you saw the candles, you know,
yep.
the poor people there.
Yep.
The bottom line, though, they willingly did that.
Yep.
People willingly died for Jesus. How is it that all of a sudden people are so transformed they're willing to die? Because they realize truth.
Yep.
Jesus is truth.
Yep.
What he says is truth. Through Jesus, we have everything.
And I think people bring up the argument all the time, oh, well, people die for a lot of other stuff. I mean, they do. People give their lives for Islam, for themselves, for other crazy things. I mean, look at the things people have died for, done things for. But I think what separates Jesus and what separates the Christian martyrdom from every other type of worldview and reason is that they die for love.
Amen.
And they die for love of God and for a person. And it's never for personal gain. A lot of these other type of worldviews, you gain something. I mean, literally a martyr, I mean, you're not getting any earthly gratification in that moment. I mean, you are simply giving your life for the good of the other and for love. And Jesus said there's no greater love than this than to lay down your life for one's friends.
We're on Empowered by the Spirit with Andrew Laubacher, who's a tremendous evangelist, singer, the founder of Firelight. We're going to hear from Andrew about the meaning of love in Pentecost when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with someone who is empowered with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, Andrew Laubacher, who is an amazing evangelist, 27-year-old evangelist, traveling all over the world. He's part of this ministry, this movement called Firelight, part of Spirit-Filled Hearts. And we talked about here on Pentecost Sunday, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the very first fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, so forth. But love transforms everything. If I were to ask you, my brothers and sisters, how many of you want more love in your life? I've never asked that question and had people not raise their hand. Oh, right. No, I don't want any more love.
Right.
I got enough.
Right.
You know, I have people loving me all the time. No, everyone raises it. Both hands, right? Everyone wants more love. Well, in order to get more love, you need Jesus. In order to get more love, you need the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think you wrote a song about No Match for Love.
Yes.
And that's pretty awesome. And some lyrics go what?
Because the chorus is, this is the story of the prodigal son.
Amen.
But he's looking at the son's looking at the father saying, I see you run, arms open wide, I see you run, ringing the road, my messiness is no match for love. And I remember writing that and imagining the son coming back just all dirty, messed up. But that was no match for the love of God. Like our sin, I mean, everyone listening right now, I mean, think of your worst sin. That'll probably come to you real quick. I think we all think of our worst sin way easier than we can think of, you know, something good in our lives. But we'll think of our worst sin and like, that's still no match for the love of God.
Amen.
And our culture is obsessed with love. A lot of perverted love, you know, a lot of twisted love. But I find an also amazing revelation that God is love. And somehow that we are able to participate in that love. And I think a real question is, and this is just real honest, I feel like, is how do you experience the love of God and like the love of Jesus and all this stuff when you can't see him or touch him or grab him or be next to him? You know, I mean, yes, as Catholics, we believe that we receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the form of bread and wine. I believe that's true, but I think a lot of people struggle with, okay, you talk about love all the time and love of God and stuff, but how can I really experience that, you know? And I think Jesus said, and we even, you know, we make up funny songs about it, but, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, you know? And where do we see, where are we supposed to see God? Where are people supposed to see us? Where are they supposed to see Christ in us? They're supposed to see it in our love for one another.
Amen.
Like we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the only gospel that some people might read. So how do you experience the love of God? Well, it's going to be through another person, most likely. And it's also going to be through experiencing that through love, which is not self-interested. That's not a word. Not interested in self. It's patient. It's kind. It's different than anything the world offers. It turns the other cheek, you know? And I think when people start to see real Christian love, like absurd love, like it doesn't make sense love, I think that's when people are going to be more convicted, like, oh, maybe this whole Christian thing is real.
My brothers and sisters, as we think through and talk about Pentecost, we're talking about something radical.
Yep.
We're talking about Jesus saying, behold, I make all things new.
Yep.
That you are a new creation. You are a new wineskin. We use the word metanoia, and metanoia is really a deep change in your life, radical. It's a deep repentance. It's a total surrender to Jesus. It is something in which one day we're one way, sinners, maybe filled with hate, filled with animosity, filled with addictions, filled with lust, filled with all kinds of things. And then the next day, something happens. That next moment, something happens. When I looked into the mirror at age 28 and said, Lord, take over my life, it didn't mean I didn't sin again. I did. But everything changed after that. I all of a sudden had this desire to know God, to love God, to love his people. I couldn't stop reading scripture, memorizing scripture. I couldn't stop getting more and more Jesus.
Yeah.
How do we know that Jesus is real? Because our whole life changes. And inside of us, we have this warmth. This feeling, the emptiness is now gone with the love of Jesus.
Yeah, and it may have, you know, like when there is a real internal shift and transformation, people notice, you know, like, and all of a sudden when someone cuts you off when you're driving, you don't cuss them out, you know, and all of a sudden, like when someone's slandering you, all of a sudden you just say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I mean, it's a real transformation of how we react to life. But I think it's also a transforming experience to encounter the love of God on a regular basis. I mean, we can experience a Pentecost experience now through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which maybe we'll get more into what that really is and what that means. But the disciples, they encountered the Holy Spirit one day in a really powerful way, but there's multiple times in Scripture where they were re-immersed, re-drenched, re-encountered, revigorated through the regeneration and the power of the Holy Spirit, because life can get you down, you know, and God didn't want to just leave us as orphans and like, hey, we're going to give you the Holy Spirit one time, I think it's going to be enough. No, it's like every day you have an opportunity to be more filled with Him. And I think that's part of the good news, is like He's with us to the end of the age.
Well, I have to tell you the story, and maybe you've heard it, and maybe our radio audience, some of you have heard it, but I'm going to say it again because it's one of my favorite stories.
Go.
I know, Michael, you've heard it. Katie, you've heard it.
Go.
Other people have heard it. I love this story. Okay.
Go.
I have prayed over children for ages 5 to 12 for many, many years at SCRC, Southern California Renewal Convention Conference, over Labor Day weekend. And so a couple of years ago, I'm praying over about 150 children. The next day, it's on Saturday. The next day on Sunday, I'm going to give a talk. A mother and the child come running up to me. Deacon. The mother says, my daughter could barely sleep. She's so excited. But she has these questions to ask you. So this little girl, maybe 7, the eyes dilate. She looks up at me and says, Deacon, did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism? Yes.
Yes.
Awesome, right? Age 7. Andrew. She asked the question of all questions, the question, my brothers and sisters, that you should be asking yourself. Age 7, she looks at me, her eyes dilate, tilts her head. If I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, why is He hiding?
That's good.
That's good. That awesome?
Yeah.
Why is He hiding? The Holy Spirit is not meant to hide. You got the Holy Spirit at baptism. You got the Holy Spirit at confirmation. The Holy Spirit is meant to make you into a warrior on fire. Fuego!
Yeah. I like that.
Right? And so, is that fantastic? Why is the Holy Spirit hiding? Holy Spirit is not meant to hide.
Right.
Think about Pentecost.
We're not supposed to be putting the Holy Spirit in a little cage, and put him in the corner and be like, hey, you stay over there. Good boy.
Exactly.
Good doggy. Stay in the corner. Dude, the Holy Spirit is a roaring lion.
So Luke 11 tells us exactly what we need. The Father says, Jesus says to us, if we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it. Asking you will receive. Seeking you'll find. Knocking the door will be open. Luke 11:9. Matthew 7:7. The point is, we have to want it.
Yeah. Yes. And I love that scripture because Jesus could have said anything else. You know, He could have related that to earthly needs or other types of resources or relationships or anything, but he related it to like, the advocate, the counselor, like what does an advocate do? They speak on our behalf. They defend us. They empower us. And I love that scripture because it's so true. I mean, what good father would not give his kids the essentials that they need to survive on just a physical level? But like Jesus is like, I want to give you something that's going to allow you to excel on a spiritual level.
Amen. Amen. And the point is, again, we see in Philippians 4:19, that God will supply our needs according to His riches and glory.
Yeah.
He will give us everything we need. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, we will get it. And so we must ask for it, my brothers and sisters. That is a big part of what Pentecost is all about. Jesus wants us to have a new Pentecost every single day.
And I think this asking, and as I'm looking at the timers, 10:10, which reminds me of John 10:10. I have come to give you life and life in abundance. And that abundant life is lived in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a real possibility that you can live an abundant life, but you can only do it with the Holy Spirit, which is who? It's God. I mean, this is the Trinity, right? This is God indwelling man. And I think that abundance that we're all looking for, it's found in the person of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, how do you get it? You ask and you're like, okay, that's way too easy. I am more convinced than ever that the gospel is simple. We've made it super, super complicated.
We think we have to be theologians. No.
Yeah. No, it's super simple. It's changing mindsets, right? Repentance means to change the way you think.
Right.
If you're in sin right now, and if you're in a tough place in life, or things aren't going right, what if you can repent, change the way you think, be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, ask God for your Holy Spirit to see your life as He sees it? Because God doesn't look at your life, and He's not up there twirling His finger, and He's like, oh no, I was not planning on this. Like, this is not part of the plan. He knows the plans He has for us, and they're good. And He just wants us to ask. He wants us to partner with His grace, so we can live life in abundance. And as a young adult, man, there's a lot of other things I could be doing that the world says look abundant. I mean, you know, my friends right now are going to Vegas and, like, you know, hooking up. And I know friends that are, you know, getting divorced, and you're starting to see and health issues, and they're dead because of the repercussions of sin. I mean, the wages of sin is death, right? But this life in the Holy Spirit, saying yes, asking, inviting the Holy Spirit into your life, it's going to be a real shift, and you have to be kind of ready to get blasted, because you're going to get the dynamite in
Amen.
You.
The old dynamis.
And that's going to, and then the sin stuff, like, that's going to start to fade away. Like, I'm not attracted. I smoked a lot of weed in high school, and I have no attraction to that anymore. It doesn't even entice me anymore. I have no desire for those things. You know, the things that before had a grip on me. I mean, that is supernatural. I know a lot of friends that are, like, really addicted to smoking, and they can't stop. And man, if for me, when I encountered Jesus, it was an overnight thing. I had no desire. It's been 9 years now. I haven't touched it, you know? And to me, that's a Holy Spirit, whoa, shift, break and change, freedom. And not everything else has been that way. Like, healing, I think, has been progressive in other places in my life at certain stages. Because, yeah, we still fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. But I think there's a life in the Holy Spirit and in the abundance that we can live when we ask. And that we have a good Father. I
Amen.
Mean, if he's really a good dad, he'll give it to us.
Is there a song that talks about
there,
that?
There is a song. Everyone knows it's a really good, good song. And everyone sings a lot. It's good, good Father.
Yeah.
But that's the truth, is, like, because of the Holy Spirit, we can have a dialogue with God. Everything else, every other religion, we talk about this, is a monologue. It's God and man and slave. Now we are in a dialogue with the dad. We have a mom. We have a really good mom. Her name's Mary. We got our brothers and sisters together in the church. I mean, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit has allowed us to participate in. Like we said earlier, like, the prophets and the kings of old could never even imagine
Amen.
What we get to experience.
Amen.
Like the gifts, the fruits.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, as you're listening to this show on Pentecost Sunday, as you're listening to this show, know how much God loves you passionately, completely. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. He loves you, and nothing will separate that love from you. We're going to come right back and talk more about how you can say yes to Jesus no matter what you've done in your life. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Andrew Laubacher, who is a renowned singer, evangelist, and founder of Firelight, part of our ministry, Spiritful Hearts. And he is on fire with the Lord. We're here on Pentecost Sunday talking about that radical change, that radical transformation. Now, for some of you, the Holy Spirit came upon me in this previous segment and told me that some of you are out there and you're thinking, it's too late for me. I have sinned. I've done these horrible things. Some of you right now, the Lord is telling me, have had abortions. Some of you have stolen. Some of you have defiled God in different ways, divorces, abused children or other people, different sins. No matter how terrible they are, God loves you passionately. He's calling to you.
Yeah, I think that's the amazing truth of the gospel, is that Jesus, you know, who is the image of the Father. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. Jesus hung out with like really unattractive, messed up, broken people, which is us. You know, what amazing hope. Like if Jesus showed up on the scene and he was just hanging out with the Pharisees and the people who had it all together and were nice and had nice clothes and, you know, they had the BMWs and the Teslas. And like if that's the only people that Jesus hung out with, I would be concerned. But the truth is that he hung out with the lowly, with the broken. He looked at the woman at the well, right?
Right.
Been with multiple.
How many husbands?
Been with multiple people. He exercised the gift of the Holy Spirit called the Word of Knowledge, which we can operate in. And but he looked at that woman with love and with compassion. And yeah, man, if God can forgive us, you know, if he could forgive sinners throughout history who have been some of the worst, he can forgive you. And it's as simple as believing in his mercy. We've talked about divine mercy. It's one of my favorite devotions. I was in Poland for World Youth Day and got to go to the Divine Mercy Shrine. And what an amazing gift given to St. Faustina that God's mercy is bigger than any sin that we can ever commit. And even Jesus said, he revealed to St. Faustina, remember my passion. If you do not believe the words I've said, believe my wounds.
Amen.
Like, that's amazing. I think Jesus, after the resurrection, came and showed his wounds to the disciples so we wouldn't be afraid to show ours.
Amen.
Jesus didn't try and hide them and try, like, I'm fine, guys. Like, he showed his wound. He's like, put your hand in my hand, put your hand in my ribs, showed his woundedness, showed his resurrected body to show that, like, hey, we can be open with Jesus about our woundedness, and he's going to heal. I mean, he's the divine physician. So, yeah, I stand with Deacon. If today is a day where you're feeling condemned or depressed or anxious or mad at God, man, Pentecost is a great day to be filled with the Holy Spirit and understand one of the first things Jesus said to disciples as well was, peace be with you. Peace. Because Amen. The second they saw him, what do you think they were thinking? Peter's probably like, oh, I denied you. The other guy's like, oh, we left you. They all condemned themselves.
And be not afraid, right?
Yeah.
365 times.
Yeah.
Do not fear, be
peace
not afraid.
Peace be with you. I think he said peace because he wanted their minds to be at rest.
Amen.
That, like, well, I don't care what you did. I'm here now. I believe in you. Peace be with you. I breathe my Holy Spirit into you. So allow God today to breathe his Holy Spirit into you again because he sees your past. He sees your sins. He sees your mistakes. And they don't confuse him. They don't anger him. They actually attract grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
And Pentecost is about this radical change. There are people out there that are struggling because the devil's been talking to them, whispering to them,
yeah,
you'll never be forgiven. You'll never be forgiven. This sin is greater than any forgiveness. You know, you're a horrible person, on and on. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, the mercy of God is bigger. Saint John Vianney said, our sin is but a grain of sand in front of the ocean of God's mercy.
I love that.
And as a surfer, dude, the ocean's really big. Like, it's a really big entity of water. And a little grain of sand is so, so minuscule.
I love
that.
And
if that's just a little taste of the mercy of God, because we can't really compare it to anything. But man, if that's a little taste, yeah, I mean, as Christians, we're called not to judge. So one, we don't judge you because you've sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. the glory of God, St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. I believe if you repent today, which means change the way you think, start over, start new, ask for mercy.
When they repent.
When they repent.
Amen.
When they repent, you're going to experience the Holy Spirit coming in, because the Holy Spirit is a dove, right? It's given an imagery of a dove. I remember listening to a preacher saying that, you know, the dove is a very skittish, it's a very skittish creature. Like it is very, very timid. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes and rests on us in baptism, and then when sin and stuff get in the way, you know, the dove, the Holy Spirit sometimes has to get away, you know, and then when we repent and we go to confession, we start over, the Holy Spirit come back and floods our soul. And if we want to keep that dove, the Holy Spirit, resting on us and living in us, we have to be in a state of grace.
And what is happening in heaven when this happens?
Oh, there's a raging party. Yeah, it's the one. It's the one that comes back, you know? The one that leaves.
Right.
Looking Jesus for that leaves lost for the one.
Yeah, leaves for the one who's in the middle of nowhere, yeah. And he leaves the flock to find that one. That's how much he loves you.
Yep, and it could be even, you know, a person maybe there that's listening that maybe hasn't done all of these horrible things, but you've just neglected God.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just been going through life, going through motions, going to work, going home, going to work, going home, going to work, going home. You know, you've just been neglecting God, and God wants to bring greater newness and joy, and he wants to bring peace in the midst of routine, you know. So there's no one that on this earth right now, there's no one here that is distant enough. I mean, that's pretty amazing. No height nor depth.
Amen.
No power of wickedness. No nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's no one on this planet right now as we speak that is outside the possibility of experiencing the love of God.
Nothing in your past, my brothers, nothing in the present, nothing in the future, nor height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities. Nothing, 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 nothing will separate you from the love of God. To think anything else is a lie.
Yeah.
A lie from the enemy. God has allowed you to listen to this show on this Pentecost Sunday because he is asking you to give your heart, your soul, your mind to Jesus. And when that happens, everything changes.
I always have weird songs go through my head, and one just came through my head right now. Let's give him something to talk about. I believe it's to talk about love. You know, it's like,
amen.
That's something to talk about.
Amen.
And that's something to praise the Lord about and to rejoice in. I mean, Pentecost is exciting.
Oh, there is nothing more exciting.
Yeah.
Than we were saying before the show, the greatest gift for me, I mean, Easter obviously is incredible.
Yeah, we need the fantastic resurrection for Pentecost.
The resurrection we have to have. We have to have the birth,
yep.
You know, Christmas.
Yep.
But there's just something about Pentecost, the birth of the church. There's
right.
Something about that transformation. I mean, the death, the resurrection, and they're still hiding. They're still hiding. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the things.
Yeah.
They traveled with Jesus, but
yep.
They're all hiding. But it took the Holy Spirit
yep.
To have that transformation.
Yep.
Right? Just know that the Holy Spirit is there, and then everything changes. Everything becomes radical. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you want to do different things. And this
yep.
Is a litmus test. All of a sudden, you want to read Scripture, right?
Yep.
In fact, it's often been said that that's a litmus test. Is Scripture come alive for you,
yep.
Leap off the page? You want the sacraments. You want to go to reconciliation.
Yep. Yeah, I think this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we should touch on real quick, because, yeah, this isn't, again, just a charismatic thing. This is a Catholic thing. This is something that we need to encounter, because most of us were baptized as babies. In the early church, we talked about this. You would baptize an adult. You got baptized, confirmed, had Eucharist, and you started operating in a different manifestation of the Spirit. I mean, you started prophesying, going in tongues, praying for the sick. Something supernatural is happening. And so for us as baptized babies, what has happened just through lives of sin, there's plenty of different images people use. But I love the perfume one. So sin and all that stuff kind of locks in this grace we've been given through the sacrament of baptism and confirmation. And what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does is when the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes for us, that lid is removed and that fragrance is allowed to run free. So when we repent, when we get rid of our sins, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, just like we have to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit and he'll give it to us, Then the Holy Spirit floods and releases that cap and that perfume. You can't smell perfume when the cap's on, but when the cap's off, it releases this amazing fragrance in your life, and that's when all of a sudden you'll know when this happens, because you're going to love Scripture more. You're going to love the Eucharist more. You won't be able to shut up about Jesus, and you're going to start listening to more worship. You're going to start, whether that's Gregorian chant or praise and worship or whatever, like, you're going to fall more in love with God. And who doesn't want that? So my question is, like, if you want more love in your life and you feel like you're missing that in your Catholic faith, you should start asking for a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which essentially means you want to be immersed in the love of God. And it's a real thing. Rich Mullins, he's one of my favorite worship leaders of all time. He, at the end of his life, he could not stop talking about this raging love of God.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, you have been promised by God, by Jesus. Ask and you will receive.
Yep.
Seek and you'll find. If you want it, you're going to get it. Knock and the door will be opened. When you hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, when you seek first the kingdom of God, only then will you be filled. Only then will you be satisfied. And as Andrew said, you're going to have the zeal to spread the gospel. I love Jeremiah 27. Mm. I say I will not mention him. I will no longer speak in his name. But then it's like a fire. Fuego?
Fuego.
Fuego burning in my heart, in prison in my bones. Do you have a fire, my brothers and sisters? Do you have a fire to speak the truth that Jesus died and rose again, that took on your sins, the sins of the world, that we may have eternal salvation? The truth that God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son, so that we may have eternal salvations? The truth that says when we say, confess with our lips and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we'll be with him forever? The truth that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus? I feel like I'm fired up here,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, it's good. This is Ephesians 4 as well. And St. Paul is talking about rules for this new life, like what this looks like, living a life in the Holy Spirit. And he says this here, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which you were sealed for the day of redemption. I mean, this is something we're not supposed to grieve, forget. I think the Holy Spirit is the most forgotten person of the Trinity.
But the Holy Spirit is the activator, right?
Right. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the activator. You know, I mean, I must admit, and I don't want to really start, I don't really do much in the video game thing, but I do watch my kids and grandkids, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always get these activating things.
Yeah, yeah.
Power things,
yeah.
Right? Well, that's kind of like the Holy Spirit,
yes,
right?
It's true.
If you don't get the Holy Spirit, it's like having hand tools rather than power tools and you're trying to build a house.
Yep. Yeah, that's difficult. We were in, I was just in Haiti in January. I got my Haiti shirt on. And
do not fear.
Do not fear. And, you know, they don't have sufficient tools there. So us, you know, having to redo this chapel was like an insane amount of labor just to even get rocks and gravel and stuff over there. And, you know, God's given us tools. He's equipped us. You know, I love all these little sayings. I don't know who says this stuff. I am horrible remembering names, but, you know, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't call the perfect, he perfects the called. We are called, we are equipped. God is giving us tools to evangelize and to share the gospel. And it says, you know, St. Paul talks about this. Everyone has been given a manifestation of the Spirit.
Amen.
To build up the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit's not meant for us. I mean, it's not just to sanctify us. It is. We need to be sanctified and renewed in the Holy Spirit. But it's also, there's an anointing on our lives for ministry. You don't have to be in ministry to do it. I mean, you could be a businessman. You could be a construction worker. You can be working in Wall Street. It doesn't matter where you are. You are called as a baptized Christian to share the gospel. It's amazing how many people I talk to and they're sharing so many things that they're passionate about. And their faith is like...
And they never talk about their faith.
Yeah, never talk about faith. And I'm like, if this stuff is true, and I think C.S. Lewis talked about this, like if this stuff is true, it's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. And we share about great movies and, you know, great relationships and when we're in love and we're watching The Bachelor and all these, you know, TV shows and we're sharing about the drama, you know, but it's like, man, God has given us tools. He's given you, specifically you, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to manifest the kingdom. And you just have to start saying yes.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are empowered by the Spirit. We're going to come right back to talk more about Pentecost and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Andrew Laubacher, who is amazing, on fire with the Lord, evangelist, singer, and part of and founder of Firelight and part of Spiritful Hearts Ministry. Here on this Pentecost Sunday, we're talking about being transformed. And when we're transformed, we receive this power of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are burning, like in Luke 24:32, the road to Emmaus, where our heart's not burning within us as he spoke to us. And when that happens, we want to share. We want to be the light of the world.
Yes.
We don't want our light to be under a bushel basket. Nope. We want to stand on top of that mountain and be that light. I will tell you, and I know you're the same, you know, we travel all over the world with Spirit-Filled Hearts and give literally over 150 talks last year, and we're on the way of more this year. And wherever we go, there's so much darkness, there's so much pain, there's so much suffering. Jesus wants to bless us and heal us, unlock us to understand his light, his love.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this lately. I was talking to a friend yesterday about this, but I would hate to miss everything God said I would do in this life. I would hate to miss out on the fullness of the gospel. I'd hate to live my Christian life, my Catholic life, not fully believing everything Jesus said. I don't think I'm going to get to heaven or face God. I don't think I'm going to face God and he's going to be like, Aleb, you believed me too much. You believed me too much.
You were too on fire.
You were too pumped up.
Exactly.
You believed my word too much that you would do the same works that I did in greater.
Amen.
You believed me too much when, like, you saw, you know, Peter's shadow heal people. Like, it was faulty for you to think that that's possible in your life, you know?
Amen.
I don't think that's going to be his answer. And this idea of light, everyone's talking about the darkness. I'm honestly kind of tired of it. I want us to talk about how we're the light. And more than talk about it, I want us to do it. I mean, it's faith and works. James is clear. It's faith and works. If you're missing one of them's not going to be effective. Your faith has to be exercised in works. Your works has to be exercised in faith. And I think now more than ever, we need to be the light. And that means some different things. I mean, we're gonna look different. We're going to act different. We can be in the world, but not of the world. And I think that's a struggle of mine and maybe of a lot of people is like, okay, how do I be in the world, but not of the world? You know, how do I relate to people and be the light without being judgmental and being like, oh, hey, I'm better than you? Because that's not going to attract people to the gospel. It's us coming together and being like, okay, I wish I had all the answers. I don't know why your brother just passed away. I really don't believe death is from God. But somehow we're supposed to be the light, and somehow God's going to make something good out of this, you know? So I think more than ever, we need to be the light, and it's going to look different for all of us. But I don't want people to keep waiting for the next great speaker to come along and the next great worship leader, the next great evangelist. Like, you are God's answer. You are God's greatest gift. You are part of God's army. He's chosen you, whether you believe it or not. If you've been baptized, sorry, fellow, you're in the club, and your light can shine. It's simple, at your workplace, at your cubicle. Like, you could be having a really good day, enjoying the love of God while you are typing algorithms. You know, like we have to start allowing the light of Christ to infiltrate every ordinary, changing the diapers, caring for crazy kids, whatever it is. Like we have to start being that light, because darkness can't stand the light. Once the light shows up, darkness vanishes.
A couple of the major concepts, my brothers and sisters, is that you are the fifth gospel.
Hmm.
Now, what does that mean? That means that your story.
Yes.
What has happened to you? You've heard Andrew's story. You may have heard my story in the past. Radical transformation. Your story. Why do you go to church? Why are you listening to this show?
Hmm.
How is God calling you? How has God changed you? That's your story. Share your story.
Yep.
Share your story. And when you share your story, no one can argue with it.
Nope.
Because it's your story.
Right.
Right? No one can argue with what God has done for you.
Yep.
Share the story in love, not in judgment, but in love about, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, but that's why I know I need a Savior.
Yeah, and I get to share my story with people on flights and all the time. And I think the one thing that I find a lot is people say, oh, that's good for you. Like, oh, good for you. You found your way, you know? Good for you. That truth, I mean, it's relativism, that the idea that truth is simply relative to time, place, culture. And that's not true. I mean, truth is in itself is exclusive. There can't be multiple truths that are all true at the same time. So when people tell me that, like, oh, dude, that's great. You found your own truth and way. I'm like, do you know that this isn't just for me? Like, this could be for you too. This can be part of your story. And our culture is obsessed. The teen culture, the young adult culture, we're constantly watching what people are doing. Everything is, I mean, literally on Snapchat, it is my story. Your story, this person's story. We're constantly watching people's stories, and I think we're missing out that God wants to enter into our story.
Amen.
He wants to enter into our mess. He wants to enter into our questions. He wants to be a part of our story, and I think this whole light, Holy Spirit, Pentecost thing is going to be really realized when you understand that God is in your story now.
Amen.
He was in your story then. The grace of the present moment, this is when you can experience God, right now.
I once heard someone say, well, you have faith and, you know, that's fantastic to your point. That's really fantastic. I wish I had faith like yours, but I don't. Mm. What would you say to them? What do you say to somebody who basically says, I give up? You know, I may have tried to have faith and I may have tried in the past, but I give up. I wish I had faith like yours.
Yeah, no, I've had people say that too. Like I've done research and read books and I've experienced, you know, a lot of different things, and I still don't believe that God's real, you know. I guess there's a lot of different ways. I feel like each person's story would be a little different the way I would answer this question, but I feel like if people have tried and that one time and it didn't work out, I mean, I would just ask them, try again.
Amen.
I mean, what do you have to lose? What is the worst thing that happens? Do a scientific experiment. Give God 7 days. Pray to Jesus. Serve the poor. Go to church. Read the scriptures for 7 days. I've challenged people with this. Hey, do a scientific experiment. I know people, you know, my sister did this like 24 days with Oprah. You know, this prayer, joy, peace, all
is
these
that,
things.
Is that Saint Oprah?
Maybe she'll be a saint. I'll pray for her. Great woman, you know, but like Oprah's not going to bring you peace.
No.
You know, and I told her, I was like, okay, I know you did this thing with Oprah. Why don't you give Jesus 7 days? And then, you know, she got angry and mad and... But I think, man, if you give God another shot, what do you have to lose? Like, let's do a scientific experiment, empirical experiment together. If this week you pray, you worship, you go to Mass, you serve the poor, I guarantee you, in that 7 days, you're going to experience God. So I just say, give him another chance.
Give him another chance. And this is what I say to you, my brothers and sisters, because some of you are saying, you know what? I wish I had your faith. I wish I had your zeal. I wish I really felt differently. I want you to make that prayer.
Yeah.
Just say exactly that.
I think the honest prayer is the best prayer.
You know, read Psalms. I mean, so many times, you know, it's like David is saying, you know, you deserted me. I'm all alone. I feel all awful. But then something happens.
Yeah.
And David then will say, but I know I'm not alone. I know you're with me. So challenge God. Challenge God.
Yeah.
And say, prove yourself to me. Mm-hmm. In these next 7 days.
Hey, Moses said that.
Right?
Show me your glory.
Show me. You know, show me your glory. Prove yourself to me. If you truly want it, I 100% guarantee that something will happen in your life during this next 7 days which will be revealed to you, that it only can be from the Lord.
Yeah, and ask, you know, be persistent. There's all those scriptures Jesus is like, brings up the widow, you know, who's persistently knocking and asking. And, you know, there's something about that idea of not like, okay, you tried once and you prayed one prayer and God didn't show up. God has not answered a lot of my prayers. I think we could probably all say that. And thank God he didn't. You know,
absolutely.
Thank God he didn't answer a lot of those prayers, you know. But if you only gave God one chance to show up and you wanted a new car and you didn't get a new car, like, give him another chance, you know. Or even if they were real things and you pray for someone to be healed and they weren't, man, give God another chance. Or you pray for some, you know, some illness to be healed and it didn't, give God another chance, you know. But he hasn't given up on us.
But what God will always come through when you say, Lord, help my unbelief.
Yes.
Help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. I want to believe even.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't believe now. I want to believe.
I think a lot of people actually do want to believe.
Right.
I think people...
They want to believe,
they do.
But they feel like...
There's not enough evidence.
Yeah, or they just feel like, I haven't experienced it. Well, God will give you the Holy Spirit.
Right.
On this Pentecost, right now, my brothers and sisters, let's all bow our heads or wherever we are. Not if you're driving, but, you know, listen in and just feel the Holy Spirit come upon you. Feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Feel God come upon you. And just, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just take over our lives.
Yes, Lord.
We ask, Lord God, that you bring us this Holy Spirit on this Pentecost, a new tongues of fire upon us, that
Thank you
Jesus. Bless us. Abundantly help us with our unbelief. Help us believe. We want to believe. We desire you. We desire your love. We desire this transformation. We repent of our sins. But we ask, Lord God, that you just take over our lives. We ask, Lord God, that you heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We ask, Lord God, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. In the name
power.
Of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Didymus.
True power, Didymus. We're so thrilled, Alob, Andrew, that you're on the show. So thrilled you're on this Pentecost show. What's one final word that you have for everyone?
I'd say get hungry, people. Get hungry. Get hungry. Get hungry for God. Lukewarmness will kill you, will kill your soul. You know, in Revelation, John has this image of, you know, if you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, says the Lord. I don't want to be thrown up by the mouth of God. Sounds like a horrible experience. I want to be on fire. I don't want to be lukewarm. So if that's you and you are just kind of tired of going through the motions, ask for the Holy Spirit to set you on fire and ask with belief, and it will be granted to you.
Expect and believe, my brothers and sisters. Ask, expect, and experience.
And I believe you have a book.
God's love.
Expecting miracles.
And experience miracles. Amen.
You are welcome for that plug.
On Amazon. Amen, amen. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You have been empowered by being on Empowered by the Spirit. This Deacon Steve Greco will be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Acclaimed actress Kristen Jasek brings her inspiring play entitled Person to Person to the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral on May 31st and June 1st at 7 p.m. This critically acclaimed production animates the life and mission of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Tickets are available at motherteresaproject.eventbrite.com or by calling 714-282-3045, 714-282-3045.